All right. I used to have a friend who was an airline pilot. He flew all over the world. He was very highly trained, incredibly skilled at his job. And one time when he was talking to me about flying, he told me about how important it was to fly by the dials. To fly by the dials means to trust the instruments that are in front of you on the console. To make your decisions as a pilot with respect to what the dials say. And you need to trust them, he told me, even more than you trust your own senses or what you think is going on. And that's because your senses can actually betray you. They can lie to you. For pilots flying in a storm, heavy clouds, or in the nighttime, it can actually feel like you're flying perfectly straight, but in reality, you're flying at a really sharp angle. And he said you could actually even be flying upside down and have no idea. Your necklace all of a sudden is hanging like that, and you're wondering, what is going on? Your inner ear can be completely and utterly deceived. And you think you're doing great, and actually you're in a nosedive, and you're going to crash. And it can just be so against everything in you to fly a certain way, because you think you're going now crooked, but you're actually going straight. Your senses can really, really lie to you up in the air, that whole vertigo type of thing. Now, that's kind of wild, and remember when I heard him saying that, it's like, well, that seems almost unbelievable, like surely I would know, right, if I was really, really crooked or upside down. And then I thought, well, okay, this isn't the same thing, but say one of us stood there, straight line to those doors, close your eyes, and in a dead run, down the aisle, through those doors. How far would you get before you hit one of the pews? The guys actually tried to get me to do it, like they just had it out for me. But that would be really hard. How do you bring a plane down to land in heavy clouds? You can't see the ground. You have to trust the dials so that when you come out from under those clouds, the runway should be right in front of you if you've done it correctly. Fly by the dials. You have to trust your instruments. So last time, we talked about God's specific commands for women, and we said that they were not burdens, they were blessings. And we saw the attendant blessings that God had put in his commands to women. And I read the story, if you were here, of that happy family. That family that was built on the word of God. And we heard of the joy that was in that family, the blessing of believing children, the permanent covenant love between a husband and wife, resulting in more happy memories than a photo book could ever hold. And it was a wonderful happily ever after. But if you recall, we also acknowledge that, as it says in Ecclesiastes, time and chance happen to everybody. The girl doesn't always get her prince. You don't always succeed in getting your happily ever after. Sometimes things go horribly wrong. So what do you do then? I read the story and everybody's like, well, that's really lovely. You should come and take a look at my life. It doesn't always work out that way. And the question immediately comes, well, what then? What if your marriage is in shambles? Or you can't seem to find a husband to begin with? Or your children are rebelling? Your household and your hair are a mess. I've heard of these things. There's sickness and heartaches, bad luck, if you will, time and chance, Solomon tells us. You want your relationships to be beautiful, peaceful, and happy. You want your children to be safe and flourishing. So what do you do when things go wrong? And your happy dream turns into a nightmare. Because in the real world, things can really go wrong. I think we all know this. Now, the temptation when you live in that kind of world, which we do, where things can go wrong, is to be like that unfaithful servant in the parable of the talents. We talked about that last time. He didn't think his master was fair, time and chance, right? This is not a fair master. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't like what he's doing. I don't agree with what he's doing. He knew things always didn't work out. So what did he do? He buried his talent. He did nothing with it. He didn't try. Full retreat was his plan. Full retreat and self-protection while blaming his master for the unfortunate situation. So he let fear of time and chance completely hamstring him. He didn't even try, and he hid. That fear of failure leading him to hide. The Bible calls that wickedness. Far from feeling sorry for him or having compassion on him, which you might think you would feel, right? He was genuinely afraid and he hid. And the Bible says that was wicked. So here's the lesson. God wants us to invest in risk. He wants us to invest in risk. We're not living in a fairy tale. We're on a battlefield. And risk means you might lose. You might. Things can go wrong. It's a dangerous world after all. But we have our marching orders, and we need to get on with it. We have the care of a sovereign God. The sovereignty of God is our assurance in this rodeo, and it should not make us draw back in fear. It should make us drive forward with courage, no matter what happens, no matter what has happened, no matter what will happen. God is in control, and more than that, he has your good in mind. Who is going to stop him now from doing you good? Nobody. So women, you are called by God to fill the earth with your beauty, with your glory, your fruitfulness, and your joy, no matter what. We know that time and chance happen. Loving homes don't just spring out of the ground. Someone has to build them, and someone's going to get hurt. In order to love, you need courage, and you need to risk. We don't want to be like that wicked servant who hides and is only faithful in his own mind. He thought that submission to his master would include him hiding and burying his talent. He just brought it back and said, here you go. Is this good? And he was called wicked. So ladies, you are called to bloom where you are planted, not wilt. God wants you to have courage. He doesn't intend for his daughters to be discouraged. He wants his daughters to be worthy of the name. Colossians 1:10 and Ephesians 4:1 both talk about being worthy of the name, worthy of the call that we have received. So God wants beauty from his daughters. He wants to hear your laughter in this dark world. He wants to see you bloom like flowers in a storm and to hear your song in the dark. He wants you to risk being beautiful when the world around you is ugly. It is the glorious calling of feminine risk, which creates a beauty unlike any other on earth. And that will take courage. If you have your Bible, could someone look up Hebrews 13:6? If someone could grab Hebrews 13:6, we'll do a few here. If someone could get Psalm 56, verse 4. Psalm 118, verse 6. Someone can grab Psalm 86, verse 2. Psalm 118, 6. And Proverbs 31, 25. Let's just read those out. Read them out when you have them. Hebrews 13, 6. Who's got that one?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Psalm 56, verse 4.
In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?
Psalm 118, verse 6.
The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Psalm 86, verse 2.
Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God.
Psalm 118, verse 6. Proverbs 31, 25.
Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come.
Do you think God wants his daughters to have courage, to be bold and to be brave, to be able to laugh at the future because they are confident in their God? Yes, he does. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, this one always gets me. It's a bit of maybe a strange one to pick, but I find it marvelous. Luke 23. I'll pick it up in verse 55 and just read a little bit into chapter 24. So Luke 23. This is after the crucifixion. And Jesus is buried. Pick it up in verse 55. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Look at that. In the face of death, the greatest evil ever visited upon this earth, bar none, look at the women. Look at the women. They come. Daughters of God, daughters of courage, bringing spices and perfume. They were restoring dignity. They were restoring sanity, nurture, and they were restoring beauty in the face of overwhelming evil. There they came to set a table in the wilderness, as their God had taught them, though they had nothing to offer but their tears. Those courageous women. They shone a light in the darkness when all other lights had gone out. When others hid, the women came because they loved. Their love brought them out of hiding to face evil head on. They didn't come in anger or in hatred, not bitterness or fighting. Their weapons were perfume and spices, restoring dignity and beauty to that which was ugly. Even in the face of death, no matter what. They brought beauty as their weapon against despair. And they conquered. Through them, moreover, Jesus was pleased to light the fires of the church. Through them, the beacons of hope were lit. Jesus tells them, go tell my brothers. The brothers weren't there. They were still hiding. They didn't know what to do. And Jesus tells the women, go tell my brothers. What a reward for their faithfulness to be the first to bring the message of new life. And how appropriate that is. Women, you bring life into this world. Through you, all life comes. And it was the women that Jesus first sent to tell the good news that he is risen. There is new life. And this is your calling, women, to be glorious, to shine forth all the love that is in your heart, even in the hard days, especially in the hard days, so that your people will remember. Beauty restores memory when one has forgotten, because the way is dark and the way is evil and the suffering is deep. Discouragement and despair can attack. Beauty restores that hope. It restores the memory of our God who is beautiful. And you do that. You cause your people to remember the light, to remember the way home. And you can show the way home by your beauty, by your glory. You ladies know the way. Show them. Show all of us. Show the ones you love. And don't be afraid. And your children will hear, and they will come. And you will conquer by your glory. Feminine courage in the face of risk is what we need so desperately. You are being summoned to embrace your femininity, to receive that mantle of womanhood and get into the battle. You are daughters of the King. You have the name above all names as your very own under Christ. You are co-heirs with him. And through Christ, you will reign with him for all eternity. Beauty is your birthright. Remember that. I told the men, dominion is your birthright. God has created you for it. Beauty is your birthright. God has created you for it, for glory. Let no one take it away from you, and let no woman give herself to anything less than this. You pursue it without shame and without fear, no matter what situation you're in. So back to our original question, what do you do then when you have acted in courage, when you have tried, and it still all falls apart? By now, most of you are probably thinking of a scenario in your life where that may have happened or is currently happening. What do you do when failure is before you and you just can't find a way out? What do you do when time and chance happen to you? Here's what you do. You don't give up. You don't hang your head. You don't quit. You don't hide. Even if it means you go to the grave bringing your perfume and spices, here's the answer. You fly by the dials. Ladies, you fly by the dials. And that means by the word of God. It will tell you when you are flying straight and when you are not. Maybe you can't see the way through anymore. Maybe failure looks inevitable, and maybe it is. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. You fly by the dials. You bring your perfume and spices in the face of death itself, and you continue to fly by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Things may or may not go your way. That's not the point. The point is that God is making you like Christ. And he's developing your character through that trial so that even if you don't get it the way you want it, it still all falls apart. You end up winning just the same. Your life reflects the glory of God. You have lived as a woman of God in the world. You have fought real battles and yet remain beautiful and unbowed. You fly by the dials, walking by faith and not by sight. Beauty is your birthright. Jesus told Peter to get out of the boat. Now, sight would tell Peter that's crazy, right? Obviously. But faith gets out of the boat. If we are really about the business of wanting God's will to be done on earth, then we count the cost, the risk, and then we get out of the boat. We invest in risk. And we begin to build. And you build your family, your household. You build your own beauty in the name of the Lord, and you don't be afraid. You don't be afraid. How vulnerable were those women on the way to the grave, huh? What courage they had. And it wasn't the water that was holding Peter up. It was Jesus. The women weren't going on their own strength. It was the strength of God and their love for him. And he will hold you up too, through your trial. Faith not by sights. Fly by the dials. Fly by faith. And in that we find great courage because God's word and his promises, they're not impotent. They are not suggestions. They are powerful. So though you face real risk, real time and chance, hope and optimism should be our mindset. That's how we should view the world. You should pursue glory and beauty even in the blackest night. The Lord is your refuge and your strength, your ever-present help in times of trouble, so do not be afraid. And it may feel like you're failing. It may feel like you're never going to get there. That change is impossible. Failure is inevitable. Nothing is going right, but the dials tell you otherwise. Fly straight. Go to the Word. What does it tell you to do? Do that. Fly by the dials. Beauty is your birthright. Glory is your birthright. In the end, obedience is more important than success. You count the cost and you find courage. You seek first the kingdom, loving God above all else, even at the cost of your own life. Discovering the joy of what it means to pour your life out for those whom you love. We humble ourselves before him in our obedience, and in due time, he will lift you up. So I don't know what your life holds. I don't know what it will hold. But I know who holds your life. Have courage in the storm and fly by the dials. You will find your way. When God's will and his glory are first in your life, you have the promise of the living God to guide you, protect you, provide for you, care for you. It may look like time and chance is making everything go crazy and go wrong. And in reality, it's the sovereignty of God. It's the sovereignty of God, and you have the promise that he is working all things for your good. Let time and chance do what it will. You have the promise of the living God that he is caring for you and turning it all for your good. That's a promise. So hang on to the promise, and you will never have to fear failure. And you will never lack courage. You will never lack beauty. And you can invest in risk. And if it all falls apart, you can truly say, these light and momentary afflictions are working an eternal weight of glory because you have your eyes set on what is most important. What does Paul say? We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction, put your life there in that phrase. It is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Fly by the dials. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So get your heart right before the Lord and do not fear the future. Be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Be strong and courageous. Fear nothing but God. And in the darkest night, you will have them in your life. You will have them in your life. In the darkest night, when the storm rages the hardest, fly by the dials. Bring your perfumes and your spices and make it beautiful. Make it beautiful. Be beautiful and make the world beautiful no matter what. Don't be ashamed. Don't give up. Don't retreat into timidity or fear. We want to be doers of the word, known for our faith, hope, and love in this present darkness. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The kind of life we want to live, to be worthy of our calling. And women, you have a calling. You have a high calling. And it's the very best. We want to live worthy lives for God to empower us in our dominion, that we glorify him in all that we do, not being afraid of failure, of time and chance, or of things that don't seem fair. We're not afraid of the schemes of the devil or the threats of this world. You overcome by doing good. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So ladies, let your light shine. Be beautiful, be glorious in the darkest times. And you will remind the rest of us of the truth, and your people will come. So shine on.